All right, listen, we got Craig.
Craig's here, and we found Waleed. Hey, Waleed.
Oh, my God.
Hey, what's going on?
And special guest, Waleed. I didn't know if I was going to be here, but I got home like a half hour and a half ago, and ready to record some random stuff, because I basically was fishing for the whole week, and I still have to look at all of last week's numbers.
This is this is episode 49 of TH Fantasy. I'm Tony. This is Ryan. Waleed's here. Craig is here. Do you guys ever see the movie Blast from the Past?
Yeah, the one with Encino Man, right?
Yeah, with Brendan Fraser.
Yeah.
Like, you are going to be the Blast from the Past guy because you don't know what happened last week.
Oh, yeah.
And so right. We're going to be, I'm going to say me and Waleed are going to talk about some week one storylines. And I want to get your response because I want you to be like, what the fuck happened while I was gone?
Justin Herbert's going to throw like 4 touchdowns this week, right?
Oh, for sure. He's definitely not going to be hurt.
I mean, I don't know. Did you see that pass after he was hurt? Like, you know, yeah. I saw him looking at 3rd and 1. He's like, I'm not running that. We're like, you got to get him off the field. Then he just throws a laser.
Yeah.
Down the field.
Did they like give the Chargers medical team a bunch of shit because of keeping him on the field?
No, I haven't seen anything.
I don't think anyone kind of said that because, like, honestly, that looks like. It looked like it was probably a broken rib, but it was the end of the game, and I have a feeling you couldn't have taken him off the field if you wanted to.
Yeah, there's no way he was coming out.
Yeah, of course not.
Yeah.
All right, so let's get started, and we'll do our remember a guy real quick. I'm going to talk about Walter Beach. Walter Beach is a fascinating dude, and the politics of the time kind of dictated where his life would go, and I want to take a minute and say thank God that America's done a better job regarding race relations than they did in the 1960s.
I guess.
I know this is an audio medium, but like my eyes are rolling super hard. So you'll hear some similarities to some modern day stuff. Walter Beach was born in Pontiac, Michigan in 1933. So as you could probably guess, he had to deal with racism and segregation as he grew up, when he served in the Air Force. When he returned, he played football for Central Michigan, setting receiving and rushing records every year.
Really?
He was the only black player on the team, but he had a really cool coach that would refuse to let the team stay in a segregated hotel. And if they were...
Why would you?
Right. And yeah, stick up for your players, right?
Yeah.
So in 1960, he's drafted by the Giants, and then he's cut and then gets signed by the Boston Patriots of the AFL. He was a running back, receiver, and kick returner, but then switched to quarterback for a year and then left football to go teach elementary school in his hometown. So when I say he left, actually, he was cut by the Patriots a day after organizing a protest against segregated hotel rooms in New Orleans.
That's crazy. So
after a year as a teacher, he joins the Cleveland Browns as a defensive back. And he's shutting down like Hall of Fame wide receivers and quarterbacks left and right. There's a story where Browns owner Art Modell told Beach to stop reading a book written by Elijah Muhammad. And Beach was like, you employ me. You don't own me. I'm going to read whatever I want. As a Jewish man, I'm not a big fan of Elijah Muhammad because he hates my existence. But still cool that he told his boss to fuck off.
Yeah.
In 1967, Beach joined with other athletes at the Muhammad Ali Summit, where they spoke out as athletes in defense of Ali refusing his draft into the army during Vietnam. So that press conference, like, he was there for that. And then the next day, the Browns put him on waivers.
Wow.
And so teams would put in claims on him, but before the claims would process, the Browns would remove him from waivers, so they would blackball him from the NFL. He ends up filing an antitrust lawsuit against the NFL, which he wins, gets back pay, and veterans benefits.
Yeah.
And then after football, Beach worked for the city of Cleveland as a youth coordinator. He went to Yale, practiced yoga in India, and wrote a book called The Sting of the Whip, which describes modern-day racism in housing and policing as an extension of white supremacy and slavery, which I totally think is kick-ass.
That sounds very... on points.
So now he works with Amer I Can, a charity run by fellow Muhammad Ali Summit member and Browns member Jim Brown, and it's all about self-empowerment and helping people rise out of poverty. So that, my friends, is number 49, Walter Beach.
Nice. Hell yeah.
My number 49, Bobby Mitchell. And there are a lot of good reasons I could have talked about Bobby Mitchell. Maybe it's because he was Washington's first African-American star when he joined them in 1962. Maybe because he was a four-time Pro Bowler.
He's also in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, that was the next thing I was going to say. In 1983, he got inducted. But none of those are why we're talking. But none of those are the reasons why we're talking about him.
Okay.
Because every time I Googled it and looked for number 49, I just kept trying to get 49ers players and Jimmy Garoppolo information, and I got kind of sick of Google. So we went with that. And I'm kind of glad, though, like I did, because this was kind of cool. Like, Mitchell was offered a contract by the St. Louis Cardinals to play baseball, but he instead, like, decided to go and play football at U of I. Back when U of I was relevant in college football, when cavemen roamed the earth. And then, as good of a player as he was an even better track player. He was, in 1958, he set an indoor world record in the 70-yard low. That was 6 days. So, he got there, but he still was a world record holder at some point. And Mitchell was drafted he was drafted by the Cleveland Browns in 1958 in the seventh round, and he played there until 1961. And he still holds the Browns record for rookie rushing average at 6.3 yards per carry. When Bobby Mitchell was traded to Washington with John Nisby and Ron Hatcher, Washington became the last team in the NFL to integrate. He was their first black player, basically. Him and those other, and Nisby and Hatcher. And here's a fun fact, too. Washington, when they drafted Ernie Davis first overall in 1962, they were worried that he would ask for too much money, so Washington decided to trade him to Cleveland for the aforementioned first black players in their history. But what nobody knew at the time was that Ernie Davis had leukemia and would never play he would never play a down of football for the aforementioned Browns. I hold to the theory that upon hearing he was traded to Cleveland, his body committed seppuku. It's the only rational explanation. Like, whereas Ernie Davis couldn't survive the idea of living in Cleveland, Mitchell thrived in Washington and immediately went to three Pro Bowls. After retiring in 1968, he stayed with Washington and became a scout, eventually rising to the position of assistant GM. Now, he wanted to be the first black GM, but Washington owner Edwell Bennett Williams passed over Mitchell in favor of Bobby Beathard. When Mitchell retired in 2003, he stated that he was deeply hurt by how owner Jack Kent Cook passed him over as a team's general manager in favor of Charlie Casserly in 1989, and by coach Steve Spurrier's decision to issue his number 49 uniform, even though it had not been issued for years and was never retired, to Leonard Stevens that season. As a player really? In front office exec, he spent 41 years with the Washington with Washington.
Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Upon his death, Tony Boswell, who's a writer for the Washington Post, wrote, "As a four-way threat, running the ball from the backfield, catching passes as a wide receiver, and returning kickoffs and punts, Mitchell is unique. No player has been among the very best in all four areas." Mitchell is a group photo of one, who is the only NFL player with more than 500 career rushes and 500 receptions to average more than 5 yards per carry, 5.3, and more than 15 yards per catch.
Wow.
And on June 20th, 2020, Washington announced that they would be retiring his number. He was just a second member of the team to have his number retired. Sammy Ball was the first.
Wow.
Cool.
Right?
Yeah, that's...
Wikipedia is awesome, man. Like,
and also, I will say, we were 2 years apart from Bobby Mitchell playing on the same Cleveland Browns team as Walter Beach.
Really?
Yeah, 61. Mitchell was there in 61, and Beach was there in 64.
Cool.
Hell yeah.
So Ryan did a last minute remember a guy. So I want to hear about it, Ryan.
I literally did it like 20 minutes ago. so we're talking about Mr. Dale Hackbart, who actually ties into a player that Tony talked about earlier in the episodes. It was probably what episode? I don't remember.
40. I think it was 43.
So we're talking about Dale Hackbart, but he ties into Mr. Booby Clark and actually has some actual legal precedents of a case that he sued the NFL. That's actually a key point of discussion for several first-year law school tort classes.
Yep. This is all about torts.
Yep.
Isn't everything in law?
So, Mr. Hackbar was born 1938 in Madison, Wisconsin. He's a former defensive back for the NFL. Played for the Packers, the Skins, Vikings, St. Louis Cardinals, the Broncos. He also played in the CFL, Tony, for the Winnipeg Blue Bombers.
The Blue Bombers.
Yeah. Initially, he was a baseball player recruited to all of minor league teams, Grand Forks, North Dakota.
Okay.
Interesting. But eventually, someone convinced him to turn his athleticism into a football career. He was drafted in 1960, initially by the Minnesota team that was part of the AFL, but that Minnesota team, I guess, never played a game, so the Packers picked him up. The Packers picked him up in 1960. Started out with the Packers. Played 12 seasons with all those teams. But in 1973, he had a little on-field scuffle with Boovy Clark. Basically, the long and short of it, he was playing... Let's see, I'll just run down the whole play.
Yeah.
Boovy Clark, he came out of a split backfield and ran down the hash marks. He was playing free safety, so he dropped back to the center of the field. The ball went up in the air, and Hackbart converged into the end zone. Billy Thompson, who was playing left corner for the Broncos at the time, jumped in front of him and Boovy Clark and intercepted the pass. Once he tried to block Boovy Clark, he landed on the ground. When he came up on one knee watching Thompson run the ball, Boovy Clark came up from behind him and whacked him in the back of the head with a right forearm and driving him into the ground.
Yep.
So he basically
that sounds like rabbit football.
Right.
He just rabbit punched him.
Yeah, it's called the head. It's basically the head slap maneuver, late hit. So the NFL has obviously banned that stuff now. And I guess in 1974, because of that injury, he didn't say anything at the time. He just said his left arm went numb, I don't know why you wouldn't say anything, but it was the 70s and it was football. You just take some pills and you feel better later. but I guess in 1974, he had a bunch of people, doctors telling him that he didn't have surgery to repair the damage. He'd lose the use of his left arm, shoulder, muscles, anything like that. And of course, the Broncos claimed they were not liable. And yeah, classic NFL. So he sued the NFL. And let's see. Yeah, so as a result of that, I guess he won the case, and now that's why NFL people have to have X-ray machines in their medicine rooms, backs, you know, along with all their pills.
Yeah, that was a part of the lawsuit.
Yep.
And also, if I remember correctly, it was Boovy Clark that punched Hackbart in the back of the head, and he sued the NFL and he won. And I remember what I was trying to say. Remember he couldn't get his helmet off. Do you remember that? We talked about that during the Boovy Clark episode. We were like, what sort of player is like, I'm just going to keep playing. I can't take my helmet off because my brain is swelling, but I'm just going to play the rest of this game and then figure it out.
And of course, the Broncos claimed that they were not liable, but in the end, they just filed the workman's compensation claim and paid for the surgery. So that's all they had to do the first place.
It's crazy what people will do to get out of filing a workman's comp claim.
Right.
I'm not even lying, because I remember doing an open mic and a guy had an accident there. And like, it was just, he ended up having to sue the place because he tore his rotator cuff, and it was 100% their fault. So...
yeah.
So yeah, that's Dale Hackbart. I thought it was an interesting legal precedence and tie-in to Boovy Clark, who we already talked about.
So I got to get serious here for a second, guys. I just got a text from a friend asking me if I was going to a party another one of my friends is having. And I was like, I wasn't invited to this party, but you can tell them that I hate them for not inviting me. And then I hopped on Facebook and saw I was invited. And it's a, and it is a cookie party. So I'm probably, we're going to need to move this around because I want some cookies because this party is always awesome. They used to have it annually, but then COVID happened. So we got to move this thing along. I need cookies in my belly.
All right.
I'm just, I don't care. I'm like,
no, this is,
we can take our time. We can take our time.
Yeah. Fortunately for you, Waleed, this is not one of our hour and a half long research episodes. So,
Well, you know what? Actually, I want to point out something because I don't know that Ryan knows this because he's, for those of you who don't know, Ryan, Tony, and I do a show for Football Absurdity called DFS for Cheapskakes and Gambling Absurdity. And what Ryan does not know is that I have committed half of my bankroll to a Bears win tomorrow. He is just finding this out right now.
How much is that? How much is it?
All you need to know is 50%. You use your imagination, all right? But I think you know me well enough to guess.
So you just put it all on the money line?
Not just on the money line, a bunch of different bets. One
parlayed, all parlayed together?
No. It's spread out different ways. The Millionaire Challenge, which is a contest we have on the Gambling Absurdity Show. For the Millionaire Challenge, I did take the Bears money line. I am fully committed. And we're thinking, and Tony and Josh are our producer, insist that I live stream me watching the Bears game because either way, it should be very entertaining. And if Josh can produce it, I will do that.
I do like it, but Waleed, they are playing in Lambeau, and I was
in Green Bay.
I was in Green Bay last week, and all the Green Bay Packers were salty. Packers fans were salty because they didn't have the first week opening game in Lambeau. It was in Minnesota.
Here's what I want to say here, and this is where I feel on this, is I decided, like, you guys already know this, I'm all in on Justin Fields. I think he is going to be a generational quarterback. I've been on board this train from the beginning, and I decided, you know what, second-year quarterback, this feels like, if I'm right about him, this will be his coming out party. So I'm just going to commit my money, like, to what I already kind of believe in my heart of hearts, because I do think the Bears are going to win. Do I understand that this is not, like, rational behavior, that history will say I am wrong? Yes, of course I know that, but you know what? Fuck it. Let's ride. I was showing, like, a couple of the parlays, too. Here's the parlay that I'm showing that I am most excited about here in this. Bears money line, Justin Fields over 196.5 passing yards. Darnell Mooney over 47.5 receiving yards. Cole Kmet 27.5 over receiving yards. Darnell Mooney and Cole Kmet touchdowns. That will pay me $1,200 if it hits.
on a dollar bet?
On a $10 bet. On a $10 bet. And I am betting $10 on that.
Okay. I like it. And it's not irrational at all. I mean, if you believe that's where the money's going to go, that's where you believe. That's what
I mean, it's not irrational, but history will say that I'm not really thinking this through.
I agree. I agree with you, though, Waleed. The Packers are going to be going nowhere this year.
I feel like that offensive line has some serious issues this week. And the only reason they didn't have more like sacks on Trey Lance is because Trey Lance is mobile and big. Like, they were getting to him against the 49ers, who I think might have a better offensive line. And I don't know that game was an advantage to the defensive line last week in the monsoon. So the Bears defense looked solid. And the nice thing about them is they didn't really make mistakes. Like, I've been in on this, on polls and Eberflus since they were hired. I pretty much love the choices they're making. And if I do, I might as well just back them up with my wallets, right?
Sure.
Or not, you know, we'll see. Sure. if it turns out right.
All right. So let's move on. And I want to play a little game with you guys. Last year, 9 running backs had more than 270 touches. So as you know, 270 electoral votes is what you need to become president. And since the midterms are in November, I'm hoping to like cross promote with NPR. Get some of that extra money.
Yeah.
So today we're going to play the race to 270.
Everyone knows left-wing radio stations too are where all the money is at.
That's true.
Where you got to try.
Tony, some interesting stats you should look up of those 9 running backs that had 270 or more last year. When did they come? Were they evenly spread out during the year? Were they maybe backloaded or front-loaded? It'd be interesting to find out some of that information.
So I'm going to give you 12 running backs, and I want you to tell me, is this running back presidential, which means they'll break 270 touches or more this year?
Let me write this down. Go for it.
Jonathan Taylor.
Okay.
I mean, let's go one by one. What do you think, guys? Right. Is Jonathan Taylor presidential?
100%.
100%. Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Christian McCaffrey. 110.
If Christian McCaffrey is healthy all season, he will absolutely shatter that. I mean, history shows when he has been healthy, he will get plus 300 touches.
Do you know, Tony, how many he had last week?
Like, not that many.
Not that many, 9 or 10.
But he was on a lot, like, and some people are panicking, but he was on, like, he had a lot of routes run. He was active on the team. He just, I think, game script more than anything, and also probably bad coaching.
I think it was like closer to 15.
Was it? Okay. That's still not as much as he should be getting.
No. All right. Number three, Alvin Kamara.
Yes.
I lean towards no on this one. I think with a lot of the extra receivers, I don't think he'll get a lot of the receiving looks that he should get. And he's never been a guy who's going to get 200 touches running the ball. I think Kamara will get close, but he's not going to quite, win the electoral vote.
All right. Go ahead.
I think Jameis Winston's going to get hurt, and they're going to have to default back to the run game.
And that is definitely possible.
Austin Eckler.
No.
Touches?
Touches.
I think he gets over 200, but I don't think he gets over 270.
I think his usage has been, like, you can see it in the first couple of games. He's not getting the same snap counts that he has been getting in the past. They're forcing Sony Michel down her throat through two games. And, I mean, they've even been saying that they want to spell him, and they're doing that. So it makes me not feel like they're going to, like, feed him the ball the way they should.
All right. Derrick Henry.
Yes.
Absolutely. 100% smash if he's healthy.
Dalvin Cook.
I want to say yes, honestly.
I think
with this offense, the way this offense looks right now, I think he's going to get a nice touch. He's going to get a lot more receiving looks too. And I think that, like, he might not get the rushing totals, but in the end he will hit 270. Like, I actually, like, the more I think about it, and that's why I made a point when I was doing my 10-man my 10-man challenge, is I feel like we're sleeping on Dalvin Cook. Like, we expect him to get hurt, but I think that, like, maybe we shouldn't be.
Deep.
I don't know. Yeah.
Maybe this isn't the year he gets hurt for.
I mean, even if he misses even when he misses 12 to 13 games, he still gets almost 270 touches. So it's not outside the realm of possibility.
He's really only missed a handful of games, but I think he carries a higher injury risk than a lot of people want to admit.
I think so too, but I still kind of, I like, if he's healthy, he will do it, is the caveat I will say for all of these guys, because.
So next up then is Joe Mixon.
Yes.
Yeah. The way they were, they're like, I mean, you saw it in week one. They're just going to keep trying to feed him and feed him and feed him. And he's catching the ball a lot more now. So
speaking of catching the ball a lot more, DeAndre Swift.
Absolutely not.
Yeah. I think Goff's going to get injured, and they're just going to have to run the shit out of the ball.
And not even that. If you look at that week one the week one timeshare, like, that was an almost even split between him and Jamal Williams.
That's how it was last year.
Yeah, and that's the thing. That makes it hard to get 270 touches when you're only on the field 54% of the time.
Take in mind, I didn't see any look at the numbers from the Detroit game yet, but did Williams snake any touchdowns from Swift?
Two of them. Two.
Are you serious? Wow.
Yeah, he's the clear goal line back. That's why my waiver wire article, I was saying that Jamal Williams has some serious value, I think, as a flex.
I mean, Ryan, if you'll recall, remember I told you there's two backfields in the NFL where I'd be willing to start both backs in fantasy on the same team.
Yep, that's true.
Detroit and Green Bay. All right.
Yeah, and Dylan did pretty well.
Not Denver?
No, that's one of them too. I was just so high on, I was so bullish on the Lions offense.
See, I was very low on Jamal Williams going into the season, but after that week one, I kind of think I've turned around on that. Opportunity is king.
How was the
Miami offense?
How was the Jamal Williams Gordon split?
50-50. You know,
oh, yeah, it was. Yeah, yeah, it was half and half, which we all kind of thought it would be.
So, next up is Najee Harris.
Oh, if he's healthy, sure. If he's healthy, 100%.
He's going to get 300 plus, maybe.
Yeah, even though week one was not good, but the injury thing is definitely a concern. Like,
all right.
And actually, if he's got a lingering injury, that could also impact it. Because okay. If he's constantly coming in and out, I could see him getting under that. But if he plays, they're going to try to, like, run him into the ground. That's what Pittsburgh does.
So, next up, Ezekiel Elliott.
No. I don't believe it. I think
he's going to be out. He's going to be out a handful of games, and they'll start leaning more heavily on Pollard. And
yeah, I think Tony Pollard is going to vulture a lot of those looks.
James Conner.
Yes.
I think so. I think 270 is a good number.
If he's healthy, like, I mean, and you were talking about those splits when Chase Edmonds wasn't there yet last year.
Yep.
Like, he kills, and they just kept feeding him and beating him. And, like, the question is, will he be healthy for it? But if he is...
Connor's never played more than 13 games in a season.
That's the thing. But he still, even when he didn't play, when he did play those games, like 12 or 13 in Pittsburgh, he still had 300-plus touches. So that doesn't necessarily deter me.
My last one, Nick Chubb.
No. Kareem Hunt's going to...
Not with Kareem Hunt.
I think he'll come close, but he won't quite get there because he doesn't have the receiving.
Hunt had 2 touchdowns last week. I thought I read that, right?
Sure did.
Nice.
Yeah,
I was pretty high on him all this year.
You were? All right, so Ryan is going full. I don't know anything about what happened last weekend. So I'm going to ask Waleed if he's buying or selling the hype on 5 things. And we're also going to have to catch Ryan up hilariously.
Yeah. All right. Ryan can answer the questions blind. I think it's way more fun.
Yeah, let me try blind.
And actually, I want Ryan to answer first, and then I will actually bring in facts.
Okay.
Will,
like, totally destroy his argument and make him feel like the fool that he is for missing that week.
All right, Ryan. Tell me if you agree or disagree with this. Jahan Dotson ends up after the end of the season, he will be the top rookie wide receiver in fantasy football.
I feel like I heard he did something cool, but I don't think so.
So
I don't think he's gonna be the best. No, not rookie wide receiver.
So here's what I need to point out here: his 2 touchdown game. Like, I've watched his college tape. I think it's within the realm of possibility that he really has a good season. I love Jahan Dotson. I don't know that it'll happen because I think Treylon Burks has a much clearer path to that, like, as the season goes on. But it would absolutely not surprise me. And I actually said that in my week one waiver wire article, that Jahan Dotson finishing as the best rookie wide receiver would not surprise me. Because the one thing about his college tape that I always saw is he doesn't necessarily pass the eye test. He's not like the most, he doesn't have any weaknesses. I think that's what I'm trying to say.
He's good at everything.
He's good at everything. He catches everything. He just gets open. He's just a good ass wide receiver. And like, I remember looking at his costume. I'm like, I'm not sure like if he's got the skill set or if he's got the body type. Like, there are things I was trying to look at, but I'm like, all he does is make fucking plays.
Right.
And he's always wide open because his routes are so good. And yeah, I 100% would buy it.
Problem is, he plays on Washington with Carson Wentz, and he's got McLaurin to compete with too,
and possibly Curtis Samuel. I get that,
right?
But yeah. I think I don't know that necessarily. Like, I don't know that Terry McLaurin and Curtis Samuel being there makes his job harder. If anything, I think that gives him much better looks, and a lot of the times you'll see him being the open man. Like, that might actually benefit him more. Whereas Treylon Burks is going to clearly, by week 4, he's going to be the clear number one target where teams will be focusing on taking him out of the passing game. I don't think Dotson will garner that level of respect.
Okay.
All right, moving on. Cordero Patterson is a top 12 running back in fantasy points per game this season.
No, look at what happened last year. He trailed off the last 5-7 games of the season. He just had a fluke. I did see his numbers because I have him in one of our dynasty leagues.
I'm going to tell you something. And he looked fucking good.
Yeah, I know. He looked like he did at the beginning of last season.
And he, even though he's older, he's got fresh legs. But here's the thing. But also, part of the reason he fell off late is because teams realized that he was the primary weapon they had to take away. With Drake London there and Kyle Pitts, that might not be the case.
And Marcus Mariota.
Oh, yeah. Why was Tyler Algier inactive last week?
Because the starting running back
Patterson looked so good. Obviously, well, they knew he would.
In all seriousness, it's because the starting running back was Damian Williams.
Yes.
But he got hurt after 10 plays.
And that's why I want to point out that we shouldn't look too deeply into the Cordarrelle Patterson like rushing totals. Because when Damian Harris got hurt, Cordarrelle Patterson wasn't running the football, which is kind of crazy when you look at 22 carries for 120 yards. Why right. weren't they like six? I mean, 6 yards a clip. Are you kidding me? Why weren't they beating him?
Were they just using him on screens and stuff?
No, that was his rushing total.
22 carries.
22 carries.
Oh, holy shit. Yards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A touchdown. And he looked good. And he looked good as a running back. Like, I could see him being very successful doing that. But I don't know. I think the only reason they used him that way was because Algier was inactive and Damian Williams got hurt. So I don't know that we can count on that kind of production, which is why I don't think I buy the hype.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Number three. Michael Thomas is legit back and has a wide receiver 2 or better season left in his tank.
I'm buying it. 100%. 100% on board with it.
He had 2 touchdowns, right? Or
he yeah. did.
He looked good too.
So yeah, I think it's fair to say he's back. Maybe
he's been hurt the last 2 years. He's healthy.
I don't know how Jameis Winston developed a chemistry with him, but something happened.
I mean, because he runs like good routes deep, and Jameis Winston wants to chuck it deep. Of course, they're going to become BFFs.
I hope he just doesn't get injured. Let's just hope that.
Agreed.
Because he went 2 years ago. He 3 years ago. He was awesome to watch.
Look, the only person that we root to get injured is Deshaun Watson. So
yes, correct.
All right, number four. Cam Akers is not going to start for the Rams at running back this season.
Well, here's the thing. Not? I think this question is, he had like 3 touches all game in that Thursday night opener.
Yeah, I did. That was one game I did get to watch. It was weird because Henderson got all the carries.
It wasn't weird because Cam Akers isn't that good. Like, he did not recover from the Achilles the way apparently James Robinson did. Here's my problem with the statement. Cam Akers is not going to start for the Rams for the Rams running back this season. I don't know that that's going to be true because he might, like, just be put in as a starting role for one game. I think the better question is Cam Akers will not be relevant as a Rams running back, which is what I believe.
Do you think it has something to do with McVay's like style of coaching and like if you don't do what I say, you're not going to be like look what happened with Skowronek. He had 4 or 5 catches and who else?
I think what it has to do with is Cam Akers tore his Achilles and is not good at football anymore. But
yeah, okay.
A high draft pick in him.
There were a couple of plays where it was clear that Cam Akers missed his blitz assignment. And Stafford got lit up.
Okay.
So that makes me is.
Yeah. So it is McVay like
thing. Yeah. Well, no, for a running back, if you can't block, you can't put that guy in because that's just going to telegraph what you're doing.
Right. Yeah.
So, all right. My last question. The last thing I have is this year, Deebo Samuel will break his personal record of 59 carries in a season.
Ooh. I think he does it. Did he? How many did he have against the Bears?
A good amount.
Yeah, especially now that he's 100% going to do it, especially with Elijah Mitchell hurts. Like, as soon as he got hurt, he became the leading running back. He's who do they have? Tyrion Davis Price, which is, we only like him because he was drafted by Kyle Shanahan. The only reason anyone gives a shit about him.
Yeah,
like, he needs the guy. Deebo Samuel is the best running back on that roster, and he got the escalators in his contract to get paid. So I don't even think he cares running the ball because he just gets more money doing it.
That's very true.
He had 8 carries last week.
Shit.
So he's definitely on pace for more than 60.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hell, he only started rushing halfway through the season, like last year. No,
yeah, that's true too.
I think he shatters that.
All right. Well, that was a fun episode, you guys.
I bring that energy.
Good impromptu episode.
Yeah. I don't know. Do you have any takes for well, Waleed, I feel like you've already made your take. You've already staked your claim for tomorrow's slate of games.
I have staked it in blood and tears. Like my future is very likely.
Well, I got a question then. We have like 5 minutes. Do you guys want to do a FanDuel Sunday night and Monday games lineup?
Sunday, Monday?
Or just Sunday afternoon?
There's two Monday night games.
I've already invested too much money into Bears right now, which I mean, let's do it. Let me know. If I win into early slate, I'll put that money down. So let's hit it.
All right.
I'll put it in, Tony. I'll bring up FanDuel. Hold on.
We'll do a Sunday, Monday late swap.
So all Sunday, even the Sunday night and Monday night games, all in the one?
Yeah, because there's two Monday night games. Do the Sunday 8:20 p.m. Sunday night Monday night football tournaments.
Do we want to go ham and do Allen, or do we want to do value at quarterback?
I want to point out with my new metrics so far, and obviously we're still beta testing, but Josh Allen is like the number three quarterback. But if I had to pick, just to commit to a bit, I want Justin Fields.
Let's do Josh Allen.
Huh?
Let's do Allen. Okay.
Okay.
And we stack them with Diggs, like, right?
Tony's like, you're not bringing me down with you any more than you already have in gambling.
So yeah, we can
go with Diggs.
Yeah, we stack with Diggs.
Especially with, what's his name, possibly out.
Is Gabe Davis or McKenzie out?
Yeah, Gabe Davis
to be out. And I'm going to be honest with you. I want Justin Jefferson here.
I could go with that. Let's see if we can work it. Or are you trying to get high running backs, Tony?
I mean, I want Dylan at running back. The problem is that running backs fall off pretty quick.
Well, what if we went Dylan and Montgomery?
Well, I was thinking Dylan and Herbert's. Oh, actually, Montgomery. Yeah, Herbert's even cheaper than Montgomery.
I was thinking Dylan and Singletary, actually.
Oh, I love it. Let's stack Buffalo, because I think Buffalo's going to win by 20.
That was the Thursday night game, wasn't it? Yeah.
I also say we pay up for Buffalo's defense.
Yeah. I have a value wide receiver.
You don't want to go low ownership on defense and do the Bears?
I think we're going to have...
I guarantee you, Bears are going to be less than 10% owned.
Well, I want to have multiple Packers, too, because I think we need to hedge against Waleed's insanity.
Yeah. I think Buffalo's the best defense in football. And it's significant. I'd rather just have the best points in that slot and worry about the rest later.
So, Ryan, you know who the tight end one is in Minnesota?
Is Irv Smith out?
No, but Johnny Munt ran twice the amount of routes that Irv Smith did.
I was telling you all about Johnny Munt. If Irv Smith goes down, he's the only one. That's awesome.
Are we going Johnny Munt? I was looking at Cole Kmet because he was cheap, but Munt is $100 cheaper.
No, I like Kmet at 48. That's cheap as hell.
Munt had 3 receptions on 17 yards and 3 targets. Wow.
Yeah, Irv Smith had 2 targets, 0 catches, 0 yards.
Cole Kmet had that route. If it wasn't a monsoon and like Fields had like a half a second, that was like a 70-yard touchdown.
I have a lottery ticket at wide receiver that I want us to think about real quick.
Okay. Oh, wait, were we doing Kmet or Munt?
Do Kmet.
Okay.
What do you think about Christian Watson?
Ooh, interesting sneak play for Rodgers, huh?
I don't hate it, honestly.
Ryan, you might not have seen this, but on Green Bay's first play of the game last week, Watson had Patrick Peterson smoked, and Rodgers hit him right on the hands, and he dropped it.
Are you serious?
75-yard touchdown, and I think if he ends up against like Kendall Vildor on a play, there's a chance that they go over the top.
All right, I like that wide receiver cornerback matchup.
One I was actually looking at, but you know what? No, that's cool. I'm good with this because that gives us a great flex option that I love. You know who I flex is?
I mean, I'm assuming you're gonna put in Mooney.
You goddamn right, I am.
But we could play Justin Jefferson then, and we'd still have 6,200 left for our flex.
Well, we did do Jefferson. That's why I'm saying, like, if we do that, we got Josh Allen, AJ Dillon, Devin Singletary, Stephon Diggs, Justin Jefferson, Christian Watson, Cole Kmet. I don't know why I put Adam Thielen in when I wanted Darnell Mooney, but Darnell Mooney and the Bills defense. That's a fucking smash lineup to me.
I think I like that one.
All right, it's in. So we're back into full season form where we're doing random DFS lineups on the fly.
We should make that a thing we do for our show now this week. Or I agree. This season.
You know what I love about this is if Cole Kmet and Darnell Mooney hit in this lineup, that means my other prop bet might do really well.
Yeah, that's true.
All right. Well, so that was episode 49. Good job, everybody. Wally, thanks for coming on last minute. Oh, that was 48. My bad.
No, it was
49. It was 49.
Oh, all right. Well, that was episode 49.
Yeah, because if it wasn't 49, if it was 48, then my 49 read just completely fucked up your show format.
I mean, you'll be letting the hundreds of people down that listen to this podcast.
I apologize in advance.
All right. Well, so everyone enjoy week two and hopefully your fantasy teams get it done and we see some good football and nobody gets hurt except for Deshaun Watson.
Exactly.
All right, guys. Hopefully, I'll see you later. I'm about to go to a cookie party.
All right. Take it easy, Wally. Hopefully Deshaun Watson gets hurt in some crazy massage room
somewhere.
Debacle.
All right, good night, everybody.
I assume the massage table just folds up and takes him like an alligator.
Yep. Oh,
that's so Beetlejuice.
Hell yeah.
All right, good night, everybody.
All right, later. Good night.
This is all about torts.
Yep.
Isn't everything in law?